This is The Source, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm Ryan Lloyd. As Election Day approaches, we are focusing on some of the hot local races on the ballot. One of them is the newly created Congressional District 35. We'll talk to Congressman Lloyd Doggett in just a moment, but first in the studio is former San Marcos Mayor, Republican Susan Nervais. Ms. Nervais, thank you for being here today.
It's so good to be back with you.
You were mayor of San Marcos.
Yes.
You're familiar with the issues of the Latino community.
Yes.
Can you talk about the district's needs in this District 35 that you would be representing should you be elected?
Mm-hmm. Well, we actually, not only was I the mayor of San Marcos, but we also spent our Labor Day weekend touring the district. And we went through about 30 stops in 21 cities in 2 days, talking to business people, just to expand my knowledge in the area. And, you know, what I see is, yes, it is heavily Latino. And Latino means a lot of different, you know, that's a diversity of population amongst it. And what I was blessed to learn was that they are the same. You know, they don't see their issues as different. They see them as the same. And they actually want us to know that. If I heard that over and over again, it was really more about that. Yes, we're proud of our heritage, but we're Americans.
How are you the best choice for that growing demographic?
I believe that I'm the one that lives in the district. I have a small business in the district. I grew up in San Antonio. I've been in San Marcos for 16 years, and while mayor, was in Austin representing my constituency. So that covers the district and every day, in it every day, with regular working folks like myself. So government was very close to the people, which is what I know that it's intended to be in this House of Representative position. So I believe that gives me a lot of everyday background. But then also, I grew up here in San Antonio on the south side of town, and so I have a special love for the culture. And it's about families and what the families of District 35 need in a representative.
You know, with the redistricting process, lots of stuff across Texas was kind of divvied up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sliced and diced. And, you know, whatever you feel about the redistricting process, people will feel. But do you think that the district was constructed fairly?
Based on my knowledge of why you do redistricting when population grows and the methods that are used, from the idea that we're trying to equally put a number of people in districts so they can have fair representation by the numbers first. I can only imagine the difficulty in trying to draw lines around denser populations in a big state like Texas. So when you think of that, I looked at this as based on the fact that we elected our representatives at the state level. They were charged with their duty. They did their duty. It was voted on in the way that we would expect it to be voted on. And the result is what we have. And if we don't like that, then we send different people to do it differently. And so I went into this race knowing this district looked just exactly pretty much what it is today, and feel that it's such an opportunity to bring San Antonio and Austin together. And looking at this as such a wonderful regional representative role. And there are a great diversity in there. But again, because of my background and my everyday living experience in the district, I believe that that is going to bode well as I represent people in Washington.
That's a good point you bring up about the major cities and the kind of the diverse population in each. You know, Austin and San Antonio are different.
Yes.
And you were mayor of San Marcos. How do you think that you best can serve two major cities, mm-hmm, with such a diverse population, coming from being a mayor of a city that's, you know, quite a bit smaller, mm-hmm, in San Marcos, but you probably would argue that they have the same diverse makeup?
It is the same diverse makeup. And I would also maybe make the case for when you're a small town mayor, you are a mayor 24/7, and we are not paid. We do not have secretarial staff. We are working for the people. So on a daily basis, the issues of whether it was water or transportation or funding, any of the issues that are important to the region, we dealt with them every day.
Can you tell us what you think about the president's health care plan?
You know, the reality is that I'm not in favor of the type of program that we have And in some basic level, it's sometimes in the way we arrive at things, not reading a bill before we know what's in it. And it has some very hard, those are what we heard on the tour, the issues that are coming to these small businesses that no one knew about as it pertains to this healthcare bill. So while I recognize I have been uninsured in my lifetime, I have been insured and hardly been able to afford it. So I understand we have to come up with some different options. The question is who should come up with those? And I believe by having a free market response, we'll really make it more affordable and more accessible. And many people do not know all of the medical clinics that we have today. They just may not know about them, that are federally qualified healthcare centers around the area. And part of it is education, letting people know that they do have access to that, or even into the county hospitals. So those things are existing. So we need to build upon that. But what I won't do, I would never support anything that destroys our religious freedom. And I would never support anything that mandates that we must buy a product. That we must buy a product or a service in the way that this bill does.
Mr. Weiss, what do you think you bring to the table that Mr. Doggett does not?
As I stated earlier, I think it's important that we live in the areas that we represent. And so I believe that's a significant difference. I also believe that my life of being a small business in the private sector. I mean, investing my own money, taking my own risk, managing that, hiring people, creating jobs, and even working on some of the issues that you hear talked about from a Washington perspective every day, such as when people come in to look for jobs, the process that it takes to hire someone, and how that is just it has grown so much it makes it difficult for a small business person to create a job, having that everyday understanding. I led a team of people in San Marcos to balance a budget every year, and we had different people and different thought processes, different backgrounds, different desires, even agendas. But you have the ability in that role to bring people together to get the work of the people done. And so those are some of the ways I believe that I'm different from my opponent. I see this as very open because it is a new district. There is no incumbent in this district. In a sense, we're both new. He has more experience in Washington, but I bring the local working person's perspective. I bring a single mom's perspective, a grandmother's perspective, a wife's perspective. So I believe that those things have brought people together all across the district, and there's a desire for something new, for something different in Washington than we've had. People are continually saying, I appreciate the service of those that are there or have been there, but it's not working. And we need people that are different that could bring some local ideas and see if we can do better.
I'm sure your days are just filled up with events and meeting people. What is your message and what do you want to say to people just before this election that would tell them who you are, what you're about, and why they should vote for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for this opportunity. As you mentioned earlier, I'm a grassroots candidate, so any opportunity to communicate to the public is awesome. And I think my message is just still the same. I'm a mom, a grandmother, I'm a small business owner, me. And I'm a former mayor who was elected 3 times. So I think that tells people that people trusted me. I did what I said I was going to do, and they had me back. And that's such a great honor. I want to show the public that it's people like me that can still run for office and go to Washington and be the people's representative as it was intended. I want them to know that I will continue to be that person working and living in the district, even while doing the tough job in Washington for them. You know, I want them to know that America is still the greatest country, the greatest place to be, that we have such great freedoms and we are still able to enjoy those freedoms. But it is up to each of us to carry that tradition on for our children and grandchildren. I want them to know that I will work hard every day to make sure that the challenges of today are not left over for our kids and not to have solutions that sometimes we find right now are short-term instead of long-term. You know, I want them to know that it is incumbent upon each of us that our freedoms are in our hands. that it's not the elected in D.C., but it is in the hearts and the minds and the voice and the vote of each of us. And I want them to go out and exercise that right. And that, to me, is the greatest opportunity for all of us to keep America what we know it to be. And so I stand for freedom, an opportunity, free enterprise, family values, and that's what I will bring to Washington, and I am so looking forward to being their representative.
Democratic Congressman Lloyd Doggett has his own set of ideas. We'll talk to him in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm Ryan Lloyd. We just talked to Republican candidate Susan Nervais in the Congressional District 35 race. She says Latino voters are interested in the same issues as everyone else. Congressman Lloyd Doggett now joins us. This is a new district, and so this I think the dynamics have changed a little bit. What do you think has changed for you, and how do you plan to represent that district should you be elected?
Well, as you recall, Governor Perry redrew my district, splitting it up in five pieces. And so over half of the people who will vote in this election, I have never had a chance to formally represent in Congress previously. And so my focus has been connecting with them and devoting most of my time to the greater San Antonio area. That means getting out to National Night Out, working with the San Antonio Police Officers Association, which endorsed me, working with local senior groups since I received an award from AARP for my defense of Medicare, and listening to a wide range of community concerns, whether it's our rivers and the hopes for improvements in the West Side creeks, just like Mission Reach in the South, or the Alamo Academies, or Eastside Promise Neighborhood. It's work, and I'd be helpful already as a member of Congress with some experience and some committee assignments that allow me to provide more support and backup for San Antonio.
What do you think will be different about Congress following the elections this year?
Well, I hope whatever the result in the presidential race, and certainly I support President Obama, that we will have at least a short period of time at the end of this year and the beginning of next year to come together to try to resolve some of the great problems that our nation faces. We've had a situation over the last 18 months where most anything President Obama was for, even if Republicans were for it first, they turn out to be against. And it's been very difficult to get very much accomplished in Congress. Congress is in recess now during October. But for many Americans, it'll be difficult to tell the difference because so little work was done when Congress was convening.
What are going to be the list of priorities that you would have if you're elected to this new district?
Well, I think as in the past, a top priority for me is education. And certainly that is a top priority throughout this district and in the greater San Antonio area. I come from a background where my dad was the only one of nine children in his family to complete a college degree. He had to hitchhike to the University of Texas in order to get started there many decades ago. And that gave me a desire for hard work and a value for education that is reflected in my work. It's my successful sponsorship of the More Education Tax Credit, so that a young person or a not-so-young person who's attending one of the Alamo colleges or any other institution of higher learning can get $2,500 directly off the cost of their tuition and books from their federal taxes, a tax cut as a result of my More Education Tax Credit. It's why I'm such an advocate for public education. It's benefited me, every member of my family, as they went through schools, and I want our schools to be strong. Great being recently at the first of the bond projects for the San Antonio School District at Cameron Elementary to see it become a high-tech school ready to prepare future generations of young people in Bexar County, to be out at the Alamo colleges and work with them on a grant for a new aerospace academy. Education at every level, I believe, needs more investment from pre-K to post-grad, and that will be a very high priority of mine with a San Antonio focus in a new Congress.
You know, and as you just said a minute ago, that Congress hasn't been able to do much. And Ms. Narvaez, Susan Narvaez, your opponent, also said the same thing. And so what is your assessment of that? How do you break this stalemate and get things done?
Well, I think we have to hope that after a national referendum on our president and the election of some new members of Congress, there will be more people of goodwill ready to work for the best interest of the country. The divisions in Congress that exist today are, to some extent, the result of personality, of people who were so coarse as to yell out, in the case of one of my colleagues, "You lie," in the midst of a presidential speech. But it is also a reflection of deep divisions in the country as to which way we move to solve our problems. I hope we can overcome some of that, though I do find it a little troubling that our next United States senator from Texas, if the Republicans are successful, is someone who attacked his opponent for being a moderate, for wanting to reach across the aisle and solve problems. We need problem solvers in Washington to deal with these problems, and in Austin, too, for that matter.
Congressman, what keeps your interest in running for Congress? What keeps you running and going and fuels your desires to, you know, make this a part of your life?
Well, the past 18 months have been extremely challenging and have raised that question in my mind more than once. But there is a unique satisfaction in knowing that you are making a difference. Sometimes I can't change a law in Washington, but I can help one veteran get through the bureaucratic process of a disability reevaluation or finding the records to secure the care that that veteran needs. I can work with one neighborhood or one community institution to get the resources and help them work with others to solve a problem. There's just nothing quite like that. I've been extremely fortunate. I was elected as the youngest state senator at the time in Texas. They claimed my voice changed when I was in the Senate. I work with a wide range of colleagues there to be successful in doing things like enact the Texas Sunset Act, which put a limit on the life of every state agency and demanded more accountability, and also to pass the Human Rights Act to ensure a new enforcement mechanism against employment discrimination. Later on, the Texas Supreme Court in black robes addressing issues like the inequities of school finance in Bexar County. There is meaning there. I look forward to the opportunity to get now a new two-year employment contract from the people of the greater San Antonio area. And after that, hopefully to have an opportunity to serve a little longer to continue to fulfill these objectives.
And, you know, health care is a big deal. And Ms. Narvaez has said that she doesn't think the president's health care plan as it is now is the right plan. And so how do you respond to that? And what do you think people are looking for in a health care plan?
I wish that the Affordable Health Care Act were as good as our opponents think it is bad. There are some deficiencies and shortcomings in it. But what we need to be focused on is how to make it better and more comprehensive. To a student at UTSA or St. Mary's who's able to stay on their parents' insurance policy, to a young cancer victim on the South Side who can now get insurance and won't face lifetime fine print limits in a policy that will deny the benefits when they need it the most. To the many people in San Antonio and small businesses and individuals who've received rebates this year because they were overcharged on their insurance, to the seniors who no longer face the donut hole to the same extent on their prescription drug coverage and who now get free benefits as far as preventive care through Medicare that weren't there before, and can see that Medicare is now almost a decade stronger in the trust fund as a result of the Affordable Health Care Act. There is benefit on top of benefit, but the main effect of the Affordable Health Care Act will be in 2014, and I want to improve it prior to that time, and that will be a big job of mine on the House Ways and Means Committee to work to strengthen the Affordable Health Care Act so it fulfills its promise, even though it already means many important benefits to San Antonio citizens.
I just wanted to know your final thoughts on what you plan to say or do, you know, for the Latino community and for really everyone in the district that to make your case as to why they should vote for you.
Well, it is extremely important. And in this race, of course, there's a choice between two Anglos, one from San Marcos, one who has served in Congress and been actively involved in the San Antonio community. I believe it's a focus on the same issues that are affecting individuals of all ethnic and racial backgrounds: education, job growth, retirement security, so we don't move to some Medicare voucher program that denies health care security for our seniors. And, of course, I believe we need comprehensive immigration reform. It's one of the reasons that I have been a sponsor in Congress for four sessions now of the DREAM Act. I've seen those DREAM Act students and met with them at San Antonio College and at other area institutions. They have so much to offer our country. They can be entrepreneurs and innovators if we give them that opportunity. And so comprehensive education reform, comprehensive immigration reform, both high on my agenda for next year if the voters give me the opportunity to continue to serve.
October 9th is the last day to register to vote for the general election. Early voting begins October 22nd and ends on November 2nd. And election day is November 6th. You've been listening to The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. Wayne Coble is the KSTX program director. David Martin Davies is the TPR news director. Chris Udaly is our web producer. Paul Flav is in charge of operations. Be sure to check us out online at tpr.org. The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.